And now the game where we ask people who've done amazing things to do something rather mundane. In 1992, Dr. Mae Jemison became the first African-American woman in space when she flew as a science mission specialist on the space shuttle Endeavour. A short while later, she served as a transporter engineer on the Starship Enterprise. Guess which one I think is cooler? Dr. Jemison, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Wow. So you have done a lot of remarkable things, a Stanford graduate, a medical doctor, a teacher, a professor at Dartmouth, and an astronaut. And
yeah.
We've read that you say two things got you into science, Star Trek and pus.
Yes.
Could you explain the influence pus had on you?
Pus is one of the neatest things ever, right? When I was a little girl, I got a splinter stuck in my thumb and it got infected, pus came out of it. My mother told me to go look it up, and then I found out it has all these really cool things in it. It's just the most fascinating thing that your body could do. It's the way around, that's the way we, I don't know, I thought it was cool.
So, I mean, it's interesting that, and with people's reaction to your fascination with pus to be like, wow, May, someday you're going to be an astronaut. Or was it like, you're an odd little girl?
Well, that wasn't the oddest thing I did. I mean, I made mud pies. I had the whole full science scope going. I pus, mud pies, dance, you know.
Wait a minute. So, it sounds like a typical girlhood. Pus, mud pies, dance, sure. And you were a big, well, I don't know if I can use this word with somebody who was on People Magazine's 50 Most Beautiful People in the World, but a science fiction geek growing up.
I was a science fiction geek. That lets you know that it come in all sizes and styles,
wow.
Right?
Wow. So you were like Star Trek, the original series, was it?
I was the original series Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. And so when you finally got him into space on the Endeavour in 1992, were you disappointed in what it was actually like? I mean, the doors don't go whoosh. And there's no cool cafeteria, and there are a few Vulcans. I mean,
no tribbles.
No tribbles.
No. It was very exciting because, first of all, you have an opportunity to see the Earth, and it's absolutely amazing. And I remember one time, actually, we flew through the southern lights. You know, they're like the northern lights, and there were this shimmering curtains of light. So there's nothing that you could have ever seen in a science fiction movie that we even come close to seeing that.
Wow.
In person. Absolutely stunning. And for me, it was really a childhood dream coming true. It's sort of where the fantasy led reality, and then I got to be on the Starship Enterprise anyway. And the cool thing was is I was the only person on the bridge who had actually been in the space.
Well, hang on. So the way it worked was you came down from orbit on the Endeavour, and then they got in touch with you. They were producing Star Trek: The Next Generation, right?
Yeah.
And they got in touch with you. They said, "Would you like to come be in the crew here?"
Asked me if I would consider doing an episode. Someone heard that I really like Star Trek, and they found out whether I'd be interested in doing an episode. And I said, "Absolutely."
You know, hey, man, this is Brian Babylon. First of
yes.
all, I'm a big, very big fan. Thank you for talking to me. I don't know. I'm a big Trekkie, too, but the first astronaut that I got caught up in was Major Anthony Nelson from I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah.
That was an astronaut. I mean, how...
Square-jawed.
Yeah.
I watched I Dream of Jeannie as well.
So, I mean, how close... You know, I know you didn't have a genie, but was it sort of like that at all?
Did you have madcap adventures with your magical companion?
I could not tell you if I did.
I understand. So I can only imagine that you were, I mean, I would do this. If I was the only person who had ever actually been to space on the set of the Star Trek TV series, I'd be like, you know, in real space, it wouldn't be like that at all. Real space, you blew your nose, it would just float all around here. I would lord it over those actors like you wouldn't believe it. What'd you do?
I just wanted to meet Worf.
Oh, who doesn't? But he's awesome.
So,
yeah.
May, how many, when you were in space, how many days consecutively were you up there?
I was up 8 days.
And you are a dancer. Did you dance?
I absolutely did. The incredible thing about being in space is you have this incredible ability that you can keep spinning and you can, you know, it's really phenomenal.
Did you do the moonwalk? I mean, you have to do the moonwalk.
You know, you can't. You have to actually be weighted to something to do the moonwalk. You
That's
know?
A problem.
And in space, do astronauts really eat the freeze-dried ice cream, or is that just something they tell you when you go to the Smithsonian?
I think it's sells things really well.
I understand.
Well,
so you're telling me that Dippin' Dots is not really the space age ice cream?
Well, Dippin' Dots wasn't even around back then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
gosh.
No Dippin' Dots. Because you have to have a freezer. I think on Space Station they have freezers. They have a little bit more different types of food that you carried up on the shuttle. But that's a lot of energy.
Everybody, I mean, basically, if you've seen all these science fiction movies, and Star Trek is just cool, you're flying around everywhere, and 2001 is sort of beautiful and graceful until the computer tries to kill you. I'm imagining that in real life it's a lot more mundane out there. What's like the most uncomfortable thing about being in space?
Laying on your back on the launch pad and having to use your diaper.
Really?
What?
Oh, yeah, we heard about the diapers when that lady drove across the country and didn't want to stop. I remember about the diaper. So talk to me about this project you're working on, which is a 100-year starship. And this is an organization trying to point the way toward long-distance space travel.
Well, it very seriously. 100-year Starship really is about the idea that if we pursue an extraordinary tomorrow, we'll build a better world today. So all the things that we need to do a successful interstellar mission are the things that we need to live successfully here on Earth. So we talk about energy, we can talk about recycling, closed environmental life support systems, but there's one thing I want to bring up that sometimes people don't think about when
sure.
they think about space, and that's how we interact with one another.
Oh, sure.
So imagine being with your panel for 100 years on a ship.
Excuse me?
You're right.
So, I'd be pretty popular.
I don't know. After 100 years, you'd all look pretty attractive to me. Isn't it true? I read about this, that they're thinking about missions to Mars now, and they think we might be able to get people to Mars, but we couldn't get them back. So you need to find people who are willing to go and never come back. Is that true?
I'm sure there are people who want to do that, and I'm sure there are people that we would volunteer.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure. Yes, exactly. I have a job for you, my friend. Well, Dr. Mae Jemison, we're delighted to talk to you, and we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Excuse me? When do we get to the Southwest Terminal?
You've flown in the space shuttle, so we thought we'd ask you three questions about a sometimes more unpredictable vehicle, the airport shuttle. Answer two of these questions correctly, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on the home answering machine. Carl, who is Dr. Jemison playing for?
She's playing for Abby Zinberg of Northbrook, Illinois.
Ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Here's your first question. At the Dusseldorf Airport in Germany, a family called for the shuttle to take them back to their car and got a surprise. Was it A, the driver was infamous terrorist Carlos the Jackal working his day job, B, the shuttle was their own car with shuttle company signs pasted onto it, or C, the driver then followed a malfunctioning GPS and drove them all the way to Paris?
I'm going to go with C.
You're going to go with C.
Malfunctioning GPS.
So they're in Dusseldorf, Germany, and... say 3 hours later, they're like, did we park this far away?
That's where I'm going because, you know, people sort of look at that GPS and they keep going because they're sure it's correct.
Yeah, how could it lie to you? It's
exactly.
A computer, right?
It's a computer. It doesn't lie.
Well, no, in this case, the answer was B. While they were away, the shuttle company took their car, put magnetized shuttle company signs on it, and used it as a shuttle. And the shuttle company said, oh, no, this was just a mistake we made today, but it turns out it had 400 kilometers extra on it, so no, they had been doing it. All right, you still have two more chances, not a problem for some
okay.
of your abilities.
All right.
Last year, also, a shuttle bus was the scene of a strange crime in Barcelona, Spain. What happened? A, the shuttle was used as a getaway car after a robbery. B, the driver of the shuttle bus set up a small brothel with velvet curtains and satin sheets in the back of the bus. Or C, a thief hid in a suitcase and rifled to the other suitcases while the bus was in motion.
A brothel, a thief going through suitcases, no. And the first one?
Used as a getaway car, I believe, after the robbery of an ice cream stand.
I'm going with C again.
C again, the thief hid in the suitcase?
The thief in the suitcase.
You're right, that's what happened. We covered it on the show when it did.
Was it a dwarf?
Guy packs his friend into a suitcase, puts it in the luggage compartment. They get on the shuttle bus while they're driving. The guy gets out of the luggage, rifles through the other luggage, steals stuff. And he was caught because as the trip ended, other passengers saw this guy talking to his own luggage. Like, how'd it go? And so they figured out something was up. So, all right, this is great. Doctor,
you have
one more chance. You can do it. In 1995 in Rhode Island, a woman with no criminal record stole an airport shuttle and tried to drive it down the highway. What reason did she give? A, she saw the words park and fly on it and thought it was a really valuable flying car. B, she thought the vehicle was, quote, dead sexy. Or C, she had a fight with her husband while visiting the in-laws and really wanted to go home.
You know, let's just stay with C, because, you know, when you have that fight with the in-laws and the husband, you just really want to leave.
You know you're right, and you are.
Wow.
That was an answer that sounded from some experience. She was visiting her in-laws with her family. She had a huge fight with her husband. She's like, that's it, I'm going home. She goes to the airport. They say, I'm sorry, we have no flights back to Mission. She goes, fine, jumps in an airport shuttle and takes out for the territories. They caught her in a few miles. Carl, how did Dr. Mae Jemison do in our quiz?
Dr. Jemison, you had two correct answers, and that wins for Abby Zinberg.
Well done.
That's great, Peter, because I had 40 quatloos on that.
Oh, that's great. Dr. Mae Jemison was a science officer in NASA's 1992 Endeavor mission. Today, she leads the 100-year Starship. Dr. Jemison, thank you so much for joining us today. Great to talk to you.